Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The state's troubled parole system continues to draw the scrutiny of lawmakers, prisoners' rights advocates, and law enforcement officials alike. Several members of the state parole board were dismissed last month following the shooting death of Woburn police officer John McGuire at the hands of Dominic Sinelli, a career criminal released on parole despite three life sentences. The murder has prompted knee-jerk reactions. That's the view of Leslie Walker, executive director of Prisoners Legal Services in Boston.
This incident is the Willie Horton of this decade, if not the beginning of this millennium, and it did not need to be so.
You might recall that in 1987, Willie Horton, a convicted murderer, robbed a gas station and raped a woman while he was out on furlough. The incident was widely thought to have impacted then-Governor Michael Dukakis's presidential bid. Following Officer McGuire's death, Walker and other prisoners' rights advocates say they're struggling to get their message heard amid the outcry from politicians and the public demanding tighter parole restrictions. We heard that perspective on Morning Edition yesterday in a conversation with a man advocating very tough restrictions. This morning, the other side, as we speak with Walker and with Patty Guerin, a Boston defense attorney who runs a clinic at the Northeastern University Law School that provides law students as counsel for lifers seeking parole. In fact, her students represented Dominic Sinelli at his parole hearing in 2008. Guerin insists the death of Officer McGuire was not the fault of a dysfunctional parole system.
Dominic Sinelli was charged with crimes which, if the prosecutors at the time wanted to, they could have kept him in prison for the rest of his life. They chose not to, and they chose to make him parole eligible. And that's the sentence he received and a judge signed off on. We don't need new laws to incarcerate more people. We have the laws on the books right now that can be used to deal with people who are repeat offenders.
Stepping back a little bit, in the week since Officer McGuire's death, state lawmakers have backed at least three different bills that would tighten up parole laws to one degree or another. Does it bother you the way that politicians and the public have responded to this incident?
It very much concerns me the way politicians have responded. They are responding without thinking. They're responding without looking at the evidence as to what works and what doesn't. They are trying to appeal to the public's sense of fear and the hysteria that surrounds a tragedy like this.
Can you give us a couple of examples where you think it has worked very well, reintegrating somebody back in?
At the Northeastern Law School Prison Assistance Project, my students represent up to 25 lifers a year. So over the last 17 years, I have seen a very, very large number of people paroled on life sentences. And they are doing exceptionally well. They are working, they are raising families, they are paying taxes. Some of them have gone on and received master's degrees that I can think of. Some of them are running community programs, helping people. These are the folks who go through the system and nobody notices because they're leading just productive, average, normal lives.
And they look like and act like anybody else.
They look and act like anybody else. And that's why it is so tragic to let what one person did destroy all of this for all the people inside and all the people coming up for parole as well.
Leslie?
Every time you are in a CVS or a grocery store or on the subway or in the theater or at the movies, you are standing next to someone that was in prison. People reintegrate. They walk among us.
But, you know, in saying that, you've probably just scared the bejesus out of a whole bunch of people on the other end of the radio.
I think that's a really good point. I think part of this bumper sticker criminal justice policy that we have in this country, you know, if it fits on a bumper sticker, we'll do it. Tough on crime fits. Lock them up fits. No parole fits. But when you really stop and think about it, what has had to happen to people that have been arrested for crimes is they've been dehumanized. They've become objectified. In a highly religious state like Massachusetts is, it's pretty stunning that no one is willing to talk about, you know, redemption and forgiveness and second chances.
As I understand it, you've been meeting with some parolees. What are they saying about what's happening right now? Are they frightened?
There's two groups. I've been meeting, and Patty and I actually met with both of these groups. Four of the men that were pulled back from the work release programs where they were successfully awaiting parole through no actions of their own. They're now sitting for the past month, more now, in a medium security prison when they've been working in restaurants and bakeries and grocery stores. And they are despondent. You know, through no actions of their own, they're back behind the wall with an uncertain future. The other group that we've met with are people that have been out for 15, 20, 25 more years, and they are terrified.
We actually asked 10 people who are out on parole if they would speak with you on the radio about how terrific their lives have been and how well they've been doing and talk about being on parole. And every single one of them was too afraid to speak publicly.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic about what's going to happen after this episode?
I'm extremely concerned. I don't want to admit to pessimism because that sounds like we're feeling defeated, and we're not. We're hoping that we can educate politicians to understand what they're doing, but we are extremely concerned about our clients, about our state's economy, about the proposed legislation that's so destructive.
I agree, and the prisons are already overcrowded. The county jails are at 150, 200, over 200% of capacity. The state prison system is at 150%. Not letting those people out is going to lead to not just despondency and wasted money. It's going to lead to an incredible backlog that's going to further jam these prisons.
Leslie Walker, Patty Guerin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Leslie Walker is the executive director of Prisoners Legal Services in Boston. Patty Guerin is a defense attorney and a law professor at Northeastern University.